Welcome, writers, game masters, and creatives, to the World Builders Tavern! Today we are talking about the TV show Fallout. So, spoiler warning, we do know that this show just came out. However, hopefully you've binged it, and if not, be warned, there are spoilers coming ahead. Grab an ale, zero proof, always available at the bar, and pull up a chair. I'm Emma, your friendly barkeep, along with Allison.
Hello.
And Christiana.
Hi.
And we are so happy to have you here. Cheers!
Cheers!
So, description of Fallout. Based on the video game franchise of the same name, Fallout is an Amazon Prime TV show which features an alternate history of Earth where advances in nuclear technology after World War II led to the emergence of a retro-futuristic society and a resource war. One of those is much more fun than the other. Many survivors of the resource war, and then subsequently there was a big nuclear bomb that went off. So people took refuge in fallout bunkers known as vaults. Unaware, each vault was designed to perform sociological and psychological experiments on the vault dwellers. More than 200 years later, in the year 2296, a young woman named Lucy leaves behind her home in Vault 33 to venture out into the dangerously unforgiving wasteland of a devastated Los Angeles to look for her father, who was kidnapped. Along the way, she meets a brotherhood of Steel Squire and a ghoul bounty hunter, each with their own mysterious pasts and agendas to settle. Da-da-da! That's like the Western twang of my insert sound effect here. So, what did y'all think of this show?
First of all, did any of us play the game? I know I did. I played most of Fallout 4. It's been many moons ago. So.
No, I haven't played any of the games. I came into this with fresh eyes.
This actually clarified a lot for me because the only things I knew about Fallout was that little cartoon guy. And then heard like their mascot. But then I also kind of got like glimpses or like hearsay of it. There's like zombies and like an apocalypse. I'm like, I thought this was like a lighthearted cartoon video game. Like, I don't understand how these things fit together. Now I understand how these things fit together. So it's great.
Yeah. I played, like I said, I played through Fallout 4, but it's been a long time. And I will say, just being chronically online, to everyone listening, the storyline does diverge to some extent from the video game. But I don't think that's a bad thing, in my opinion. I know a lot of people are upset about it, but I don't think it's a bad thing because TV shows and video games are different. And so it's a different medium and you have to change some things. So,
Can you make an adaptation without people getting upset, though?
Yes.
Never. Never.
No. It cannot be done. As somebody who only watched the show, the storyline seemed fine. So I don't have any major issues with that.
Yeah.
Which seems like it seems like maybe they did a good job then since they're making it for TV audiences. So,
Despite having to cringe away from many of the very bloody scenes and limbs being cut off and stuff, I really loved this show.
It's so good.
Yeah. During Game of Thrones, I covered my eyes during the fight between the Mountain and I think he's the Viper is his name, the Dornish fighter, because I knew, having read the book, I knew that his head was going to get exploded. And I was like, I don't want to see that. And then in this show, my head got exploded and I didn't know it was coming. So I was just like, oh, okay. So now I'm like, maybe I'll go back and watch the Game of Thrones scenes because clearly I can handle it.
Well, you know, the violence is a bit different in this than in Game of Thrones because it's so over the top.
It's almost cartoonish. I didn't find it, mind you, I'm also a big horror fan, and so it's it takes like a pretty significant amount of gore and some pretty specific gore, like people ripping off someone's fingernails for some reason. That's my thing.
Yeah.
Or I'm like, I will look away. I'll watch everything else in horror movies, but like as soon as they touch the fingernails, for some reason I did. I'm like, no. But I found the gore in this not like it is so cartoonish that it almost doesn't feel like gore.
Like it is like funny. Video game. That I think carried over from the game. It very much felt like, you know, when you shoot someone in a video game and they like explode or whatever and it doesn't feel gory.
Yeah.
I watched with my husband who has played the Fallout games and he said they did a really good job of just capturing the feel of Fallout, yes. just with the nice. Over-the-topness.
Yeah.
And that it they he thought they did a really good job. So I was pleased about that, because I feel like that's what an adaptation should do.
I was just going
to
say,
you need to capture the spirit of it.
Yeah, the feel of it, the general vibe, the emotions you get going through the original source material. I think like that's the most important thing. If they change a character here and there, if they change a plot point here and there, like that normally doesn't like pimple my goose or anything.
Yeah.
Like it's just like, okay. Like, but it still feels the same is the most important part. And I same, like I said, I've only played Fallout 4, so I only have like the one reference point, but it did feel very, very that.
So. Yeah.
And I loved the world. So it's nice that we're in a world building podcast.
And there's so much to talk about, because there's so much stuff going on in this world. Like, you get the Vault Dweller, so you have this underground society. You have the, like, post-apocalyptic wasteland anarchy violent society. And then you also have zombies, which is, like, a whole third thing. And each of those ghouls. In other media are like, their own whole... I'm sorry, ghouls. Is this, like... This is, like, the Walking Dead. They're walkers. They're ghouls. They're zombies.
Yeah. Well, I will defend the ghouls a tiny bit, because they're not undead. They're just heavily irradiated. Right?
Like, yeah, fair enough. They're a good spin. They're a good spin on zombies. I'm still gonna...
They're also not... like, when I think of zombie, I think of completely mindless, and some of them still have their capacity.
But, like, in multiple... In, like, other franchises, any one of those elements is its own whole world. Yes. And yet in this, it's almost got, like, three All different worlds going on. So let's talk about that. Like, how did they do that? Did you feel... overwhelmed? Did you think it went well together? If it went well together, how do you, why do you think that was?
Okay, like, I want to start by saying my favorite thing about coming into this show was I knew it was post-apocalyptic, and the intro sort of gave the background of how it started.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which we're going to talk about prologues later.
Yes, yeah.
Because I, at first I was like, is this necessary? And then it was, and I was like, but anyway, my favorite thing was getting dropped into this vault at the beginning.
Yeah.
And it being this lovely little...
Like utopia, almost.
Utopian society of very naive people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not what I would have expected from a post-apocalyptic show. That wasn't the world I was expecting. And so to be dropped into this, I was like, what is going on? And it was very fun because I kept sitting there waiting for the shoe to drop, because I knew it was coming. Because you obviously know this is a post-apocalyptic show. So they did the writers did a really good job of just keeping you at the edge of your seat.
Yeah.
Waiting to see what's wrong with this society. When's the post-apocalyptic part gonna come in? What is going on? So I loved that.
I really like the different factions too, because I think that's like Fallout does this weird thing where it is somehow so like balls to the wall insane that it feels so otherworldly that you can like engage in it without getting too sad. But also weirdly realistic, because that I feel like that's what would happen in an apocalypse. Like, maybe not necessarily the Brotherhood of Steel, because we don't have like the core reactors and everything to power these mech suits and like whatnot. But like, you would probably see people break down into their own little factions like that, right? Like, we're seeing it in society today from a communications perspective with information silos and things like that. Like, so I feel like I like the fact that there were multiple things, because if it's just everyone absolutely hates everyone and goes for everyone, I don't think that's realistic. I don't think that's human nature. I think people would ultimately team up with other people with like-minded ideas and then attack each other, right?
Yes, but like, it's in not, your groups. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also loved the factions, and I loved that they had different ideologies.
Yeah.
And I really love guilds in fantasy fiction.
Yeah.
So this is, you know, this kind of the sci-fi version.
I like that.
So I like that you could, so when I think of guilds in fantasy, I often think of, oh, this is the thieves guild.
Yeah.
This is, it's the merchant sort of by guild. Trade, this merchant. Is, But I really like taking inspiration from Fallout in that what sort of different world views would a guild have that differs from others? Mm-hmm. So I think that's a fun little tidbit.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that all of these things worked really well together and didn't feel overwhelming because they all had the same root, which was all, like, all of them were caused by the same thing, which was this nuclear bomb that was dropped. Because if it just happened to kind
of... Many nuclear bombs.
Yes, sorry, like, we saw one at the beginning that got dropped on, like, California, and, like, that was a big deal for our characters, but, like, there was a bunch of them. But yeah, because it's like, if there was this whole underground society and the above wasteland, and then also... completely unrelated zombies had also developed like separately, it'd be like, well, that is just, that doesn't make sense. That's too much coincidence. What's going on? So I think having like a root seed or like a common thread between all of them really helps it,
yeah,
you know, make sense as a cohesive world instead of feeling like you just wanted to throw something else in there for the hell
and
of
it's
it. So
also realistic in the sense that yet another story where at the end of the day, capitalism is the problem. Vault tech
greed
is the problem. They're like, well, we built all these vaults and we need to make money, we should drop some bombs kind of thing, which isn't confirmed in the TV show, but I feel like it's kind of confirmed. Here's like
it was confirmed. I feel like that was 100% confirmed.
It wasn't like we dropped the bombs first. We know they dropped bombs. It wasn't said if they did it first.
I interpreted it as it was.
Obvious but unsaid kind of thing, but Vault Tech did it first kind of thing.
So it's
always capitalism. That's the realistic aspect of it. Maybe we don't have a Codsworth yet or little robots helping us around or anything, but if for sure capitalism will be the end of the world.
I really that was another thing that I thought was really well done, is the motivations of everybody, like of the protagonists, of the antagonists, like everybody's motivations really made sense within the world. And
And it made sense to them, too, right?
Yes, like, like, greed is a really good motivator. And I know sometimes it's real, like, it is really, I don't want to say in style, but it kind of is to have really morally gray villains. Like, and that is something I enjoy, and I like having a villain that I can kind of empathize with. And it's like, oh, well, they want the right thing. They're just doing it the wrong way. But
no, these
you don't
guys
always
are
have
just
to have
suck.
That. Yeah, sometimes your villains can just suck, and you can just pick, like, a bad trait. Just be like, they're greedy, and because they're greedy, they screwed up the whole world, and look what happened. And, like, you can do that, and it's still enjoyable and realistic.
Yeah, truly.
I look also
Jeffrey
love...
Bezos. I feel like every chance I get on this podcast, that's Jeffrey Bezos. So. Don't sue us, but it's Jeffrey Bezos.
Don't sue us.
I feel like... capitalism is the worst has become a motto of this podcast.
Yeah, it did. Truly. That's what we just keep picking things where we get to dogpile on capitalism. So.
Speaking of morally great protagonists or villains, I really like the ghoul, Cooper Howard.
I don't know if he's morally gray. I think
he is at first, for sure. Definitely, because at first you don't even know. I guess you could recognize the actor as the same person. I don't know if I recognize.
I didn't
that.
Until I think it was the beginning of the second episode, and then I was like, "Oh, that's the same guy." Yeah, yeah.
But he's very vicious and just kind of like, I just like the chase. He says something like that at the beginning, and you're like, "Oh, he's just an evil dude."
Yeah.
As you go through the series, one thing that I found, it's very, every character in the show gets monkey pawed, right?
Mm.
Like, they have a wish, and then they get that wish granted, and it's not what they wanted, right? So at the very beginning, you see Walter, I can't remember, like, Walter Goggins' character when he's not a ghoul.
Cooper. So, for anybody who hasn't seen the show, really quickly, he was an actor in the real world, and then he became, like, or the pre-Fallout world, and then he became a zombie.
The ghoul, because he got so much radiation.
I'm sorry.
But he was an actor, and his wife is really high up in Vault Tech, so he became like the spokesperson for Vault Tech, and he became a mouthpiece. And at some
point in the show, he's the Pip-Boy.
The mascot,
and
yeah.
So at some point, he expresses his wish to be a cowboy again. Not just an actor. He doesn't want to play a cowboy. He wants to be a proper cowboy again. And you hear him saying that when, you know, the wife is like, oh, we're going to go into this vault. And he's like, why can't we just go out and buy a ranch and, like, get out of the city and, like, have our own thing and all that stuff. He gets to be a cowboy again. But as
an
uncomfortably hot, noseless ghoul kind of thing. So it's like that monkey paw thing. Same with, like, Lucy. She wants to find her dad.
Yeah.
Because she wants to bring him back. She finds her dad, and then she finds out her dad is a part of this. and that her dad is part of the problem. So her wish is fulfilled, but it's not fulfilling, right? And yeah, same with like Maximus?
Maximus, yes.
I keep wanting to call him Titus because they call him Titus for a long time. He's pretending to be Titus. Maximus wants to become like a true knight of the Brotherhood of Steel, and then he becomes the knight through kind of like sort of finicky means.
Yeah.
And it's not all that it's cut out to be. So it's like very, everyone gets their wish, but it's not fulfilling. So
you even see that with one of the side characters who it was a squire for Maximus when he was pretending to be Titus, who was a knight. There's the whole kind of side plot. But he gets his foot like shredded and it's really gross. And then he finds a doctor and he's like, can you fix my foot? He's like, yeah, here, here's this medicine. It'll fix you. And it turns him into a ghoul. So he's fixed, but he's also now a ghoul.
Every character gets their wish, but not in the way they want
in the worst way possible.
But also like very in line for that world too. It's not just like someone gets screwed over. It all makes sense for the world that's built. I really like that.
That is actually really common for novel writing. So another good tip here is think about what your character wants. And often what the character wants at the beginning of the story, they
isn't actually
either,
what they need.
Yeah, it's not what they need. And they either get it and realize they didn't want it, or they somehow realize it wrong along the way that they really want something else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
yeah, I love that.
Yeah. Yeah, which is really well done. I know that we also wanted to talk about sort of the over the top or unexpected world building. Allie, did you already kind of cover that with your thoughts on the utopia? I
think it ties into another point that I think we want to talk about, which is like the humor of this world. This could have been a really bleak story. This could have been a super bleak franchise. This could have been like The Road, right? But instead they have like 200-year-old deviled eggs and like just like random little things like that. Like the choice of the preserved food made me laugh immediately.
Yeah.
I'm like, deviled eggs. Wow. Okay. That sounds horrifying. Eating 200-year-old deviled eggs. Like so many of these things, like I think part of what makes it over the top is that it's just very funny. A lot of it is very funny and it's kind of like unexpected. And even when it is expected, it's so, I'm thinking of, pardon my language, when Maximus like grabs the guy when he first has the power suit, the T-60, and he like stops the guy from killing that guy. And then he runs off like arms, like chop, chop, almost Naruto style, runs away. And he's like, I'm sorry for fighting him. It's just, he was fucking my chickens. So gross, but so unexpected and so funny. And then I rewatched the first couple episodes, and in the beginning you could see him using his top hat to like dust chicken feathers off his pants.
It's so gross out,
but it's so funny because it's just also like, you, that could have been like a truly dark story, like this person is killing, this person is like killing the thing that gives me food, this person is like removing my ability to survive, but instead it's just like, he's fucking my chickens and he runs away all funny, like kind of thing. So like there are some really interesting choices with that that just like really cracked me up. And I think humor was a big part of making it over the top.
Even the existence of the vaults themselves is really ridiculous.
Yeah,
like this would have been a very serious story if the vault, like the purpose of the vault's experiments was something like ensuring humanity survived or something, like, but they're just dumb experiments that make no sense,
just that some rich person wanted to do. That was part of the thing, is like each of the rich people of this company got their own vault to like conduct their own experiment in. So it was just like, there's a little scene where you see them all like brainstorming what experiments they could do, and it's just like, this is ridiculous.
This is the weirdest thing ever.
What ties to that, which will be our next topic, here's my segue, is that concept of retrofuturism, right? Because you see so many 50s commercials where it's like, my husband thinks I made the stew, but it's actually canned stew from Campbell's or whatever. And it's like, they very much have that tone and that approach to a lot of things of that, like, everything is new and novel, isn't it crazy?
And very fake.
Yeah, very fake.
We're all happy and... and that kind of is the vibe of the show.
Yeah, and I don't think that that's like general vibe and like the tone and the voice of the show could exist if it weren't for that retro futurism.
There was another moment that I thought was really funny, which, again, part of my language, but like that's kind of what this show is, so sorry.
Yeah.
But it's when Lucy, so the ghoul brings Lucy, who is our vault dweller who's come to the surface to rescue her dad. He like basically kidnaps her and he brings her to this facility to trade her for the drugs that he needs to kind of keep him from going completely like psycho ghoul, where you like become a mindless zombie. So he trades her for this, and then she manages to like fight her way out and basically kills everybody in the institution. She comes out and he's kind of collapsed because he doesn't have his meds. And then she has this great line of like, I may end up looking like you, but I'll never be you. And then she gives him medication. And then she says, golden rule, motherfucker, and walks away. Earlier, she'd been telling him that like the golden rule is the thing that they live by in the vault, which is, of course, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And it's just like that juxtaposition of like this really kind of naive utopian ideal combined with like swearing, combined with like this insanity that she's just gone through is such a good... Like, and that's so often where humor is found, in that juxtaposition of just like, what are the two most opposite things? And if they came together, wouldn't that be ridiculous?
Oh,
and
I also loved, I noted this progression of Lucy. So she's super naive and innocent at first, and she doesn't swear. Like, there are times where
she says,
like, oh,
fudge.
She says things like that. And then there's one point where she does say fuck. And you're just like, oh, Lucy, you're becoming more
you're more of a wastelander. Right,
wastelander.
Yeah.
But you're still keeping the heart of yourself. Like, she's still she still tries to keep her heart and does give the guy the medicine, which is the sign that she's not changed.
Yes.
But she has changed a bit, you know.
Thing I did find super funny with that was like the vault dweller's approach to sex, like in the episode she's being traded off for marriage so that way she can get a breeder from the attached vault and they can reproduce and create more Americans, kind of thing, is like the whole propaganda behind it. But it's so funny where she's like, up until now I've only ever done cousin stuff.
My first time when I was watching, I was like what?
What did you just say?
Yeah, I was like, that's not what they mean, right? So, and then later she like talks to her cousin about them having had sex. I'm like, oh no, they did mean that.
They
that's
did.
Just
yeah.
fully what's happening. Like, okay, so gross. All right.
But also her conversation with Maximus, where he is like, I actually found it really endearing because like I'm a very sex positive person and I think people should talk about like what your body does and all these things. So like her conversation with Maximus, where he's like, I don't know, it's like super gross and it like doesn't happen to me, but like I heard some people, like when you like play with it too much, something comes out, which is like so gross,
like, and like your cock explodes.
And he's like, yeah, and then so they have that whole conversation and she teaches him, she's like, that's very normal. And then at the end when he's all happy, or like the one episode, he's like, do you want to make my cock explode now?
I have to put an expletive warning on this podcast.
I know. Yes. Sorry. It just made me laugh so hard because I'm like, I feel like that's actually pretty realistic to like imagine being like from Maximus's perspective.
Yeah.
You're in the Brotherhood and like they're not teaching you about those things. They're not like any of that kind of stuff. So it's just like all of these things of this world building and showing how like some language is restricted and how some information is restricted and all these stuff. Instead of having it be like a really serious conversation, it's a really dumb line like that instead. Where you're like, oh, okay, so this character never learned these things. This character never got to do this stuff because of this faction that they're a part of.
It was,
and then it's
very
just very
fun.
Funny. Yeah,
it was a
yeah.
fun juxtaposition because Lucy up to now has been the naive one.
Exactly.
And,
and then
she knows more about sex than he does, and she's the one teaching, which is hilarious.
Yeah, exactly. So I really love the world building for that. Like they really use humor smartly to explain what is and isn't available to certain people in that world.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and speaking of a scene that could have been really terrifying, at the beginning when she's set up with her husband, they go into a room to have sex, and like you know immediately that this guy. Is there's something
bad
up.
News? Yeah.
And so I'm like, is this gonna be a rape scene? Like,
yes, this, I also was wondering that. Horrible. Yeah.
And I was sort of like gripping my seat waiting for it, and then he starts kissing her and she's like, okie dokie.
Just gets naked and stands there and she just looks at him and goes, okie dokie, and like goes for it. Yeah.
And then there's just like a sex scene where they're it's awkward because it's sort of, it's not exactly rape because it is consensual, but you know that something's gonna happen.
Yeah.
And so
the moment I knew for sure that guy was evil, because I was like, it could go either way.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
And then when he wiped his junk on the curtain after, I was like, that guy's evil. Stab him. Get him.
I thought it was when you saw the scars on his body, because you're like, this is a vault dweller.
I saw the scars, but I was like, I don't know. Maybe he's like trying to, at that point, I was like, he's probably evil, or like, he's probably a wasteliner. And like, but maybe he's also just trying to like pretend and get safe in a vault. And maybe it's not, not 100% a bad thing at this point.
Yeah.
And then, he wiped his junk on the curtain. And I was like, get him. Get him, Lucy.
And I liked that it wasn't a rape scene, because those are horrifying for me.
They are.
Yeah.
And they're so unnecessary in like 99% of stories kind of thing. Like, it's, you really have to think about it if you're going to include that. It has to be so thoughtfully done. And like, genuinely needs to have a reason, which is, like I said, 99% of the time it's not the case. Yeah.
And then the terrifying part was that they end up trying to kill each other. So which is a violence that I can watch. So
Still horrible, different way horrible. Yes. Yeah. I think that they did a really good job of thinking about why characters would be the way that they were. Like, it would be so easy to just be like, oh, 1950s values, okay, we're also gonna make Lucy be really conservative when it comes to sex, because that just like plays into it. But then the thought process of like, well, maybe that doesn't make sense, because if they're into like repopulating, then like sex would be a big deal. And you would. So having that, because nothing that is a societal norm, it just comes out of nowhere. There's always reasons for it, even if those reasons no longer make sense. And so one way that you can kind of, if you're not sure how to do that, is kind of just research stuff in our world and be like, oh, well, how did this come about? Why did we have this? And then apply the same logic to your world. Like, why would this faction believe this thing? Oh, well, here's why. And it just makes it feel a lot more organic than just regurgitating things, because that's how it is in our world.
Yeah.
Hello, World Builders. Allison here. Did you know that the World Builders Tavern has a Patreon? True story. You can help us keep the lights on and listen to our bonus After Hours episodes. Find us at patreon.com/worldbuilderstavern.
But with that, I think we are at the point of our proprietor's pick. So, Allie, what do you have for us today?
I have a book. Well, I don't actually have it, because it's coming out next month. It's called Service Model by Adrian Tchaikovsky, and the tagline is "A humorous tale of robotic murder," which sounded like over the top.
Yeah.
Which is what this show is.
Yeah.
And here is the description. Humanity is a dying breed, utterly reliant on artificial labor and service. When a domesticated robot gets a nasty little idea downloaded into their core programming, they murder their owner. The robot then discovers they can also do something else they never did before, run away. After fleeing the household, they enter a wider world they never knew existed, where the age-old hierarchy of humans at the top is disintegrating, and a robot ecosystem devoted to human well-being is finding a new purpose.
It's giving very much like Love, Death, and Robots and the Netflix show, and I love it. It sounds great.
Yeah, and I figured like the robot going into this world they didn't know is kind of like Lucy entering the
wasteland. It makes me think of Codsworth, or like the robot when they take her and she's like, I thought you were going to sell me to be a sex slave. He's like, that's like, disgusting. No. I'm simply going to harvest your organs.
I love robots that are such great vehicles for humors.
The voice actors from the IT Crowd, and I love that show. So that was fun.
Yeah, Matt Berry, he's so good.
Yeah, he's great. Anyway, so if you liked Fallout, you might like this novel coming out June 4, which is next month. So check it out and let us know if you read it and what you think.
And with that, we are at a last call. So here are some concluding questions and thoughts from us to you about your world building and how it can be inspired by Fallout. Allie, what did you take away from Fallout that you think would be really useful for world building?
I didn't touch on this earlier, but I will say I did not like Maximus. I thought he was the worst.
He's very easily influenced, hey? Very like,
yes.
Yeah.
And also morally questionable.
Yeah.
But I really liked his, I still enjoyed watching his scenes and following his story. So this is more character related, but your character doesn't have to be likable. And if you're writing a post-apocalyptic story, they very likely might not be, because often when you have to survive in a world like that, you might not be likable.
I was just going to say, I think it ties to world building, because Maximus isn't necessary. Like, he loves the Brotherhood of Steel because they saved him from Shady Sands.
Yeah, he's a result of the world. Yeah.
He's just trying to survive. Like, he's not particularly loyal to any one person.
So think about how your character's motivations tie into the world or faction that they grew up in. And that they don't have to be particular likable to be interesting to watch.
We didn't get to touch on this in our conversation. I feel like there's so much to talk about with Fallout that like we could talk about it forever. But one thing that we didn't talk about was the kind of world building reveals that they did. And how it was really well done. And one of the reasons I think it was well done is because you already know what the questions are at the beginning of the show. Like, as an audience, you're thinking, well, why are they in these vaults? Okay, well, why are there ghouls? Like, you know what the questions are, but then the answers they give you are different than what you or the characters might expect. So instead of, oh, there was a war, it was, oh, these really rich people drop bombs to make money, right? So it's, and I think that that's how it feels earned, as opposed to just suddenly being like, you know, this thing that you didn't have any questions about because it was super well established and we reiterated a bunch of times. Oh yeah, that's completely different. And sometimes that feels a little bit like, was this planned or did you just decide you wanted to do this? And like, sometimes that can work, but I think a lot more of the time, if you give people the questions and then just subvert the answer, that works a lot better and will leave your audience feeling fulfilled and like excited about it, instead of being like, well, that's dumb, why did you lie to us, kind of thing. So think about that when you're doing like world building reveals and stuff, is plant those seeds early. And Christiana, what world building tips do you have for us from the world of Fallout?
My advice would be, we've talked about this multiple times before, humor is very, very hard because it's so subjective, it's hard to get right, but humor in Fallout is what makes the world so enjoyable, and it's what makes it like consumable, because otherwise it could be like almost oppressively depressing, right? Where it's like all these factions fighting against each other and all these things. You could have like five video games worth of The Road by Cormac McCarthy. I keep going back to that because it's like I read that novel and like
that's a quintessential dystopian
didn't
novel.
Talk to like anyone for a solid week because I was like, oh my god, like just dealing with it, kind of thing. But does the humor make it better? Do you need that humor? Do you not need that humor? Are you trying to portray like a very serious message? But even then, you could portray serious messaging with humor. But what makes it more consumable, more enjoyable? And I think that's something that you should ask yourself when you're approaching stories like this, especially, I would say particularly in post-apocalyptic worlds or anything that is like very, very sad pretty much by default. Can you flip it on its head? Can you make it a little funny? Can you like kind of subvert expectations with it and have that humor in it and everything? So like instead of, you know, having like sexual assault and something like that's like a serious issue in the world, instead you have Lucy being like, I've only done cousin stuff. Right, like that's like funny, and it like makes it more consumable and like more approachable for a lot of people. So if you are doing something that's post-apocalyptic or very heavy, like not everything needs to be grim dark, right? So if humor would help tell the story, try it out is my suggestion.
Yeah, and having the humor also do world building, like even in that like joke, it like tells you something about the vault. You're like, oh, they do have this danger of like inbreeding, and like how they clearly they're managing this, and this is like an understood thing,
or
right?
Even so it's like the rationed, and I say this as someone who's in the military and ate like 5-year-old rations, If someone gave me 5-year-old deviled eggs, I would lose my mind. Right? So like little things like that in the world building can sometimes be very funny. And it like really lifts people up so they're not feeling like they're slogging through a beating kind of thing, right?
Unfortunately, this does bring us to closing time. We would love to stay longer here at the tavern, but these dishes are not going to bust themselves. Thank you so much for joining us at the World Builders Tavern. If you just can't bear the thought of waiting 2 whole weeks for another episode, you should join us on Patreon at patreon.com/worldbuilderstavern for access to our bonus after hours shows, which we are going to have so much to talk about for Fallout. Like there is truly, we have only scratched the surface. So if you love Fallout, you're going to want to listen to that one. You can also connect with us on Twitter at WB Tavern Pod, TikTok at World Builders Tavern, and on Discord, the World Builders Tavern, where we have a whole community of writers and world builders, and it's a lovely spot to come hang out. We hope to serve you here again soon, but until next time, scram!
Get out of here!
Bye.